Greetings in Jesus' name this morning. Thank you, Brother Colin. Thank you for that number 400. Mother was loving that. We're going to go to Philippians chapter 2 this morning. Philippians chapter 2 and read verses 1 through 11. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if there any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which also was in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself, and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven and things in earth and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. I asked Brother Dustin if I could have this opportunity to speak to you face to face. The last time I spoke from right at this position was in December. Brother Larry gave me opportunity to open so I could give a personal update on my wife. If you don't think I'm the same person, you're right. I'm torn in half. My sons and I continue to desire and covet your prayers as I find this period of life very, very difficult. There are so many firsts. This is a first. I'm up here, and she's not there supporting me. So many firsts. You have been great. I know we praise our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, but I also praise you this morning, because you have done so well. You were right there for my wife and for my sons and myself, over and over and over, filling so many cracks, lifting us up so often. Thank you for your prayers. God called my wife to separate from her earthly body. She's in a wonderful place right now. But her sons and I struggle. It was no lack of prayer. No lack of prayer. Thank you, school children, for loving her. Thank you for praying for her. Thank you for your notes. Dear Sister Chris, I love you. And I'm praying for you that you would get well and come back to school. Thank you for all of them. And don't think for a moment, children, that God did not hear them. He heard every one of them. God had other ideas. God's ways are higher than our ways. His thoughts are higher than our thoughts. Do I understand God this morning? No, I do not. Do I have to? No, I do not. Do I need to trust him? Do I need to believe his word? Yes, I do. Thank you, children. Thank you, everyone, for prayers. Thank you for the cards that kept coming and coming. You sent a whole pile of cards back March 16th. That was the 40th anniversary. I wanted to go somewhere special on that 40th. But I was somewhere special. I was right beside her. And then the cards kept coming, get well. We're thinking of you. We're praying for you. And then, of course, another whole pile of them, sympathy cards. I had one sympathy card that kind of, I cherished the little message that the brother and sister added to it, just a short little message. It said, take time to grieve. Thank you for everything, those cards that you added your notes to. Thank you for the texts. Several brethren here that texted me from day one, back in November, when the diagnosis came forth, and December and January and all these months. Thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for those texts, phone calls. Thank you for the meals upon meals upon meals. Thank you for thinking of us in that way. Delicious. Thank you. I only wish she could have ate more of it. You cleaning ladies, thank you. I told them when they came, she wasn't always up to seeing them, but it was a comfort to her. It was a special comfort to her, knowing that you were coming in and cleaning. Thank you to the school for your generosity as you kept paying her. Children, school children, thank you so much. It was so beautiful as God used your voices and your hearts when you sang at the funeral. I had different people tell me that heard those children sing in the past that was the greatest. And you were all here. There was not one missing. Thank you. Thank you for the financial support along the way. Thank you for everything you have given. I couldn't help but think of Job in number 400 this morning, reminded me of it again. There in Job chapter 19, I know that my Redeemer liveth, and shall stand again upon the earth at that latter day. Job said, and I say with Job this morning, and I am thankful for over 40 years. I just didn't want it to end. And you don't either, and I hope you don't. I hope it doesn't for you. You always want another 10. You always want another 15, another 20. And you kind of take it for granted that they're coming until they don't. But I'm thankful for the over 40 years of a loving, faithful wife. But Job said, the Lord gave, and the Lord taketh away. And he also said, blessed be the name of the Lord. And I say this morning, blessed be the name of the Lord. I say this yet to you, my dear brothers and sisters, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these, my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Inherit the kingdom. Matthew 25. Brothers and sisters, whatsoever you sow, you'll reap. You have sown love. You have sown kindness. You have sown compassion. God bless you as you reap. Thank you. All who are able, let's kneel for prayer.
I bring you greetings in the precious name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ from your brothers and sisters at the White Oak congregation. Many of your faces look familiar, and I trust by the end of the next Sunday evening, all of your faces will look familiar, and I look forward to getting to know each one of you. Many of you I do know. Many of you I look forward to getting to know better. Thank you, Brother Glenn, for sharing that testimony of thanks and praise to God in a very difficult time in your life. Praise be to the Lord. We've come to the beginning of a 10-service series together here with the Pleasant Hill Church family, and I look forward to our times together as we search the Scriptures, the Holy Word of God, that we might be encouraged and challenged and convicted and changed in our walk with the Lord. You know, too many times in our walk with the Lord, we become satisfied with mediocrity. We're okay with the way it is when we know that it could be much better. And we're not willing to take the time to make those changes that could make it better. Maybe our relationship with God is stagnant, or maybe there's an unconfessed sin in our life, or an area of disobedience that is like a weight dragging us down. Maybe there's a broken relationship that is within our ability to begin mending, and we've chosen not to budge. Or maybe there's bitterness or unforgiveness or covetousness or discontentment. Maybe there are those here who have not given their heart to the Lord, and this will be the week that they find that relationship with Him. Whatever it is, allow the Holy Spirit to speak to each of us this week. Pray that God will work in our own lives and that we'd be open to the Holy Spirit's leading. You know, that we would be, when the Holy Spirit prompts, that we would have the courage to make those, to move in the direction He's leading us. You know, life is a journey, and we just heard part of that this morning, and every one of us is on a journey. They're all going in a little different directions, but I trust we're all going together closer to the Lord in our journey. I look forward to hearing more of your stories this week, learning to know who you are, what your walk of life is, and where you have been, and what you're looking forward to. I've chosen for a memory verse. I always like in a revival series to have us memorize a verse together. And I've chosen for this week 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And I'll try to go over that. Did I say 1 Corinthians 1 verse 15? And I'll try to go over that at the beginning of every service. And maybe you already know that verse. And if you do, then pick another verse and memorize that one this week as we together work on this one. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 15 says, and we'll say it together here, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved, it is the power of God." And so if you didn't hear me the first time, let's say it together now. "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God." Tremendous verse, and I'll speak a little bit further on that throughout the week. A few years ago, in the summer of 2022, as a church body, there at White Oak, we had the opportunity to celebrate 250 years as a congregation. And 250 years is a pretty long time. You think about all that happened in 250 years. I don't know your church history here, but I'm sure it goes back a long way as well. And you think about that history, and what a blessing it is to look back at a congregation that started by meeting in houses and barns in our area in 1772, and I was just amazed at the amount of history, the information, and the facts, and all those things that were shared as we looked at that 250 years. You know, and as I thought about that, I couldn't help but think about all the lives that had intersected over those years through that church body, that congregation there at White Oak. And I just praise God for allowing me to be a part of that church family. As my life, I didn't I didn't grow up at White Oak, and so I've only been a part of it in the last 37, 38 years. And so my time together with that congregation is brief when you think about 250 years, and yet I've been blessed to be a part of that. And then I think of all the being a part of White Oak and then being a part of these other congregations who we most closely associate with, and how many people I've gotten to know and how many relationships have been built through those connections. Praise God for that. You know, God's word has much to say about looking back at the past. Deuteronomy 32 says, "Remember the days of old. Consider the years of many generations. Ask thy father, and he will show thee, thy elders, and they will tell me." Another verse in Deuteronomy says, "Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest thou depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them to thy sons and thy sons' sons." Pass those things on. You know, the past is to be appreciated, but we don't want to dwell in the past. As we look at the past, it helps us to understand who we are today and how we are to live in the future. And as Eric was sharing in the opening, you know, we the staff at our doctor's office, you know, they compile a record of each visit and each symptom and each test and each exam and each diagnosis and each treatment. And they look back at our records and they share our records with each other. And it helps them make better decisions on our care for today. As we look back at our history and where we've come from, it gives us a window into who we are and as to who we are today. And we ought to be profoundly grateful for those who have come before us who have brought us to this day. There's a history in each of our lives, each of our congregations. We ought to be grateful for those who have studied Scripture in depth and brought us to this place of understanding today. But we ought to also pass this faith on, make it our own, and pass it on to those coming on after us. We ought to be grateful for the opportunities we have to share a testimony of our faith to those coming after us. The mission of the church was God's idea. Wasn't man's idea. The church body was God's idea. And he put into Scripture many of those non-negotiables straight from his word of how the church, what they are to believe and how they are to conduct themselves. And that's the mission of the church. The vision of the church is how we get to that end and how we put into place and how we live it out today and how we put in place those things which he has given us. How can we be a New Testament church in 2025? How do we live that out? How do we edify the body of believers? How do we evangelize the lost? How do we live out what he's given us in his word? In the living out the New Testament church today, foundational to that is our topic for this morning, and that is elevating Jesus Christ, lifting up Jesus Christ in our hearts and lives today, in our church, in the world around us. How do we elevate Jesus Christ? It is foundational to our faith and how we are to be a New Testament church today. Think with me about the preeminence of Jesus Christ. The preeminence, the meaning that he surpasses all others. He is superior in all things. You couldn't have chosen a better hymn at the beginning here as I was making my way up front here. All hail the power of Jesus' name. Let angels prostrate fall. Bring forth the royal diadem and crown him Lord of all. That word hail means to call out or to attract attention to lift up, to make known. It uses the word there, a royal diadem, meaning placing a jeweled crown as a symbol of royalty on the head of Jesus Christ. He is above everyone else, and we're to call out and make a draw attention to him. That song, as we sang it, "All Hail the Power of Jesus' Name," is a declaration of praise, and it's declaring the majesty of Jesus Christ, and it's inviting us or tasking us with the importance of making his majesty known to all those around us. All hail the power of Jesus' name. There is no one greater. John, in his gospel, he's speaking about Jesus, and he says in John 3, verse 31, "He that cometh from above is above all, and he that is of the earth is earthly, and speaketh of the earth. He that cometh from heaven is above all." Christ is infinitely superior. He was miraculously conceived. He lived a perfect life. He died a substitutionary death. He rose from the grave, and he promises that he will come again to this earth to receive us unto himself. He is above all, and there is no one that comes even remotely close as in comparison to him. Colossians 1 verse 18 says, "And he is the head of the body of the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence." Hebrews 1 verse 4 says, "Being so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they." Revelations 1 verse 11 says, saying, "I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning, the first, and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the seven churches which are in Asia." Isaiah 9 verse 6 says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. The government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." Verses go on. Ephesians 1 verse 22, "And hath put all things under his feet, and given him to be head over all things to the church." 1 Peter 3 verse 22, "Who is gone into heaven and is on the right hand of God, angels and authorities and powers being made subject unto him." Many scriptures point in various places that Jesus Christ is above every other being and equal to God the Father. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." You know, Scripture allows us to understand who Jesus is and his superiority and his greatness and his perfection, and that he surpasses all others. He is the Holy One who can redeem, who can save us from our sins. Scripture establishes that fact throughout, that there is no one greater than Jesus Christ. It also establishes the command that we are to lift him up. We are to elevate him to that rightful place above all others. Scripture invites us to elevate Jesus Christ to the point that he is to be above that rightful place, above all others. Philippians 2, which Brother Glenn read for us there at the beginning of the service, "Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him, and given him a name which is above every name, and at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, of things in heaven, and things in earth, and things under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father." Speaking of a time to come when everyone will recognize that he is indeed who God said he is. There is a time coming when everyone will recognize that Jesus Christ was indeed superior to all other beings. There are three words in Scripture that the message that as we think about elevating Jesus Christ that we should know. Those three words are exalt, E-X-A-L-T, exalt, E-X-U-L-T, and extol, E-X-T-O-L. And they're similar in sounding, and they're all words used to describe the praise of God. All come from Latin, from the same prefix, ex, meaning up or out. And in these cases, exalt comes from a word meaning up on high, lifting up on high. So as to exalt someone means to view that person or thing as highly superior. When we exalt them, we lift them up on high, being highly superior. That's the E-X-A-L-T. E-X-U-L-T means that we rejoice greatly and express great joy. And so we demonstrate who Jesus is, that exalted one in worship, exalting, E-X-U-L-T. And extol means to raise up or elevate or to make lifted up on high. We see those all together. When we extol someone, we attempt by our praise to lift them up. All words part of elevating Jesus Christ. You know, as a body of believers, we have attempted to lift Jesus up. We preach and we teach Jesus Christ in his word. And we've continually observed and we remember what he's done for us at Love Feast. We lift him up and worship him for saving us, for dying on the cross, saving us from our sins. The reminder of the sacrifice that he's made for us. But there are times there are weaknesses in the way we exalt Jesus Christ. You know, over the years, maybe our prayers at times without fervency, we might just go through the motions, forgetting. I appreciate it again, Brother Eric, how you had us kneel this morning thinking about who we're actually praying to, kneeling before the throne of God. You know, as we went through that exercise this morning, sometimes we're unsure of who we are actually praying to, God the Father and Jesus Christ the Son, Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're irreverent in our posture of prayer, just not even thinking about, methodically going through that. We're not lifting up Christ when we do that. We're not lifting up Christ at times we're self-sufficient and we lack humility. We're not exalting Jesus Christ when we do that, when we're relying on ourselves. At times we know the principles and the doctrines, but we lack enthusiasm and joy. We are not lifting up Christ and elevating him when we're doing it without any joy and enthusiasm in our hearts. At times our worship is not expressive, not even recognizing who we're worshiping. So sometimes we forget that our sin is offensive to God. We're not lifting up Christ when we forget that he hates sin. These are some of the weaknesses that we've observed that keep us from elevating Jesus Christ to his rightful place. In our life, I don't have to remind us that there's so many distractions around us. You know, and at times we want to bring Christ down to our level rather than keep him up where he rightfully deserves as the exalting him as the creator and the sustainer of the universe above and beyond what we can even imagine or think. We have so many opportunities available to us to elevate Jesus Christ to his rightful place. We can begin by elevating him in our own heart and worshiping with enthusiasm, worshiping not only on Sunday morning when we're gathered together with other believers, but worshiping throughout the day, anytime, anywhere, lifting up and elevating Jesus Christ. Stopping and realizing who it is that we're actually worshiping and who we're lifting up. Realizing that it is all about Jesus Christ. It's not about ourselves, not about us, but it's about Him. It's helping others. We have opportunities to help others realize that we're in the last days and to use whatever season of life we're in to lift Him up. We have opportunities to give a testimony for Jesus Christ, and so many times we pass them up instead of taking advantage of it. Maybe the other opportunities we have are to worship and pray more fervently and use our singing time to elevate Jesus Christ, being more aware that the sanctuary here is for worshiping. When we pray in Jesus' name and we list His attributes, we are lifting up Jesus Christ. We have opportunities in those ways. Maybe we need to an increase in faith to overcome our fearfulness in order to elevate Jesus Christ. We have the Word of God that instructs us to use every opportunity to elevate Jesus Christ to that rightful place, to give a testimony for what He's done in our lives. So many times we could speak up on behalf of the Lord, and we pass up those opportunities. I want to give four ways this morning, the ways that we can elevate Jesus Christ. We do it through His Word, and God has revealed who Jesus Christ is through His Word, the Bible. John 17, verse 3 says, "And this is life eternal, that they may know Thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom Thou hast sent." We have His Word in order to educate us, and so we can become knowledgeable, so we know how and we know who He is, so we can better elevate Jesus Christ. You know, the Word of God is not just a bunch of historical narratives, but it is an inspired book about the character and the workings of a living Jesus Christ. So in order to elevate Jesus Christ, we must be in His Word. Not just read them for knowledge and information, but to really, truly know Jesus Christ. You know, if we do not learn who Jesus Christ is for Scripture, if we do not read the Word and learn to know who Jesus Christ is for Scripture, we will instead, and catch this, if we do not learn who He is from Scripture, we will instead form and fashion a God in our own mind who we are comfortable with and that we can understand. And so if we do not learn to know who Jesus Christ is truly from His Word, we will instead fashion our own understanding of Him, someone that we are more comfortable with and that we can understand, and we will be off course of who Jesus Christ truly is. Scripture reveals the nature of God, the character of God, the workings of God, the will of God, the commands of God. Scripture tells us what pleases God, what angers Him. We can read, know, and understand the Word of God, and it enables us to elevate Jesus Christ, who He truly is. We elevate Jesus Christ when we communicate with Him through prayer. Hebrews 4, verse 14 through 16, I'll read them all, but invites us to come boldly to the throne of grace. Jesus Christ is elevated when we pray. Our prayers with words of adoration and times of confession and requests and thanksgivings, we're saying, "Lord, I cannot do this, but You can. We elevate Jesus Christ when we trust in Him. Our prayers are actually declaring our complete dependence upon God. Our prayers are asking for knowledge and wisdom, wanting to know more of who He is. And our prayers on behalf of others, for others to know Him more, and for unbelievers to have their hearts and eyes open to the truth of God, that truly is elevating Jesus Christ. God is pleased. Jesus Christ is elevated when His people ask for more of Him. Jesus Christ is elevated when we ask for His wisdom. We do not pray as fervently or as much as we should. Instead, we want to exalt ourselves or others rather than Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is truly elevated when we pray according to His will, that His will might be done. Our dependence on Jesus Christ and coming to Him often in prayer elevates Jesus Christ. Another part of elevating and exalting Jesus Christ is fellowshipping together with other believers. Another verse from Hebrews 10, not neglecting the assembling of ourselves together. We're commanded to gather together as believers so that we might grow together in love and good deeds. Scripture tells us that we, the church, we're the body of Christ. We're uniquely gifted in different ways to exalt Jesus Christ and glorify Him and edify the church together. We stretch and stir each other on to love God more and work more for His glory. When we praise Him in unity together as a church, we elevate Jesus Christ. Another way we elevate Him is when we proclaim His gospel, when we take the opportunity to share the good news of Jesus Christ. Romans 1 verse 16 says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Gentile." When we proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world, Jesus Christ is elevated. He is lifted up. God has chosen to redeem those who are lost in sin to Himself through His Son, Jesus Christ. And we elevate Him when we tell others of His crucifixion and His resurrection and His ascension. These four ways, and there's other ways and other illustrations, other ways to put this into practice through His Word, through prayer, through fellowshipping, through proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. Each one of us could think personally this morning of how we might better lift up Jesus Christ. Maybe a greater desire to know Him through His Word and prayer. Maybe it's more ready to share that gospel or share a testimony. Many times we have opportunity to share a testimony and we pass it up. God could use that to lift Himself, lift Jesus Christ up. How could we better elevate Jesus Christ if we would live humbly and so not elevate ourselves, not placing anyone or anything else in that rightful place of Jesus Christ? We could better elevate Jesus Christ when we gather together frequently to worship, fervently praying, carefully studying His Word, and enthusiastically singing and worshiping the Lord together. What changes could we make in our lives that would elevate Jesus Christ? Each of us can think of areas we could do better at lifting up Jesus Christ to that rightful place that He belongs. I love this psalm of David, Psalm 95. And David knew how to lift up God. He knew how to exalt God. Listen to Psalm 95, a few verses. He says, "Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms. For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. Later on he says, "Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker, for he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand." Oh, that we would worship. Oh, that we would lift up Jesus Christ as David did. This morning we're going to close with a hymn of invitation. That invitation is, if you're here and you've never invited Jesus Christ into your heart, there is no better way. It is the place to start by receiving Jesus Christ and making him Lord of your life. So if you're here this morning and you've never received Jesus Christ as your Savior, stand or come forward while we sing. If you're here this morning and you've been distracted and you've not lived your life lifting up Jesus Christ, and you would like to recommit your life to elevating him to his rightful place, we invite you too to stand or come forward as we sing. What hymn shall we sing as a hymn of invitation? 284. Turn in your brethren hymnal to 284. Let's sing. If the Lord is calling you this morning to lift up Jesus Christ, make him Lord of your life, stand or come forward while we sing. Please lead us. I want to thank you for your attendance this morning and your attention. I wanted to mention at the beginning, I appreciated the many messages of from each of you on behalf of these meetings of your prayers going up, and I appreciate your prayers in the week ahead as we worship the Lord together. I invite you back again this evening. May the Lord bless each of you.
Well, I want to thank Brother David for the message, and it is my desire to extol, to exalt the name of the Lord. And as he was preaching Revelation chapter 5, if you want to turn in your Bibles there, I want to read a couple of verses. Revelation 5, verse 11. These verses are entitled, "Worthy is the Lamb." Worthy is the Lamb. And it's the picture that John seen of heaven, or the vision that he had of heaven. Revelation 5, verses 11 to 14. "And I beheld, and I heard a voice of many angels round about the throne, and the beast, and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000, and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, 'Worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, and riches, and wisdom, and strength, and honor, and glory, and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven, and on the earth, and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, heard I saying, blessing, and honor, and glory, and power be unto him that sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb forever and ever. And the four beasts said, Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshipped him that liveth forever and ever." They were exalting, they were lifting up Jesus Christ, the Lamb that was worthy. With those words on our minds in the message, let us bow before him in prayer.